Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
They're all trying to lowball you. You know it. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. Josh Heisel will come to your home. He'll look around and he'll say, there's a chance he'll say, listen, I think we can make even more money selling this traditional way. And then you go that way. Or you can say, listen, we don't need to do the open houses. We don't need you to pour money into this thing. I will give you X dollars for this house, which is the full market value of the house. It's Josh Heisel. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. Chris Harrington next. Talk about the Grizzlies, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize that word was in there. I also don't quite understand a culture where that word is a crisis, but whatever.
I don't either.
That's Ballad of the Devil's Backbone Tower. I'm sorry, Ballad of the Devil's Backbone Tavern by Todd Snyder, who, you know, we talked about yesterday. But that song's about a dive bar located somewhere between Austin and San Antonio. Huh. And so sending that out for the Memphis Grizzlies in San Antonio tonight. Maybe they could have a post-game victory celebration at the Devil's Backbone Tower. That would be a sight to see.
One of the sadnesses is that for some reason, when people listen to this show as a podcast later, Jeffrey, why is it you can't have the music embedded? So people can't hear the song you pick every day. Neither can they hear any of the other songs that we happen to play during the course. What is the rule here, Jeffrey? What's happening? Why is that?
So because our podcasts are now on Spotify, Spotify has a lot of
rules about what music can't be played. Anyway, so sadly it gets stripped away. Have you spent any time in San Antonio, Chris, playoffs or otherwise?
Never been to San Antonio. Been to Austin, but never been to San Antonio.
Do you aspire to go to San Antonio?
I don't know if I would say I aspire, but I'd be very happy to go to San Antonio, sure.
How was Austin?
Austin was great back when I used to go a lot. That was a while back. I gather it has changed very quickly and very dramatically since then. And different people have different opinions about whether that's been for the better or worse. I have an uncle who lives down there, and he's trying to get out.
Well, there you go. Grizz play San Antonio. NBC was all over this game. They flexed it so they could see Ja dunking over Wemby. And instead, no Ja, no Wemby. First, let's just go with the report, which you wrote yesterday when that news dropped. It was a grade one calf strain, reevaluated in 2 weeks. I sometimes do this thing where I'll offer Jeffrey, I'll say, would you take that in advance? And I think I would have taken that injury report. Would you have, if I had offered that to you yesterday at this time, would you have taken that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen when he's reevaluated in 2 weeks. It was not returned to play in 2 weeks. Right. It was reevaluated in 2 weeks. But, I mean, grade one is the lower grade. The higher grade, the worse. They never put a grade on the Ty Jerome, but they called it a high grade. So the Ty Jerome calf situation was much worse than the Ja Morant situation. The funny thing is, like, it's like Ja Morant and Victor Wembanyama have the same injury, basically.
Right.
He's also like a 2 week thing.
He's a bigger calf, though. It's a much bigger calf.
This is true. And so we'll see. I mean, the timing is just bad. Ja was always going to miss some time.
Yeah.
I mean, we now know this. It would have been better if he was going to miss 2 weeks or to miss 2 weeks, like, you know, later in the season when Ty Jerome's back or, you know, something like that. I mean, it puts the Grizzlies in a very tough spot with their guard play, but, you know, it could be worse.
He might yet miss time when Ty Jerome is back,
right.
Sadly. Yeah, it's funny. Someone came up to me yesterday and asked me about the general hopelessness of the various teams. And I responded, you know what? I actually think there's a lot of intrigue with the Grizzlies. I can 100% imagine, and maybe because I was so smitten by that brief stint, what they looked like against the Cavs when they were healthy. And even now, like this game, to get to see Zach Edey again and to continue to be able to see Cedric Coward. And I find it, I think there's, and then you can imagine that certainly once we get into the year, we'll get some real sense of what this will look like, and I have some optimism about what it will look like. And I sense you share that.
Yeah, there are teams around the league that are in really good situations broadly, and there are teams around the league that are in really bad situations broadly, and the Grizzlies are neither of those things. It's a little bit more complicated with the Grizzlies. There is potential there. You know, there's potential there for this team to sort of come together in a way that, you know, is in the postseason, is competitive in the postseason, and you feel like you can add to it going forward. And there's a way where that doesn't happen. But guess what? You got Cedric Howard and Zach Edey. Now you're going to have two first-round picks and a good draft, and you have all these other tools to work with. And so there's just lots of different paths where it can go. It's in a particularly bad spot right now, but the broader situation is not that bad. And it is an interesting situation because it could come around in a good way in different kinds of manners, you know.
Vince and Cam Spencer, obviously in the spotlight here. Thoughts about where they are?
I think they've both acquitted themselves well when considering, you know, what the reasonable expectations were. They should not be in the situation they're in. They've been pushed into too big of a role. Vince in particular, if he's going to be the starting point guard. I think Vince, a lot of the stuff that I was concerned about with Vince has bounced back. I mean, what I looked at with him was his defensive rebounding, his steal rate, his activity, some of that kind of stuff. And all of that has bounced back to where it was, you know, two seasons ago when he broke through. I don't think the best use of him is a starting point guard. I think it's like a combo guard, a wing who could be a secondary ball handler, or more of a defensive-oriented player, that kind of thing. So I think his turnover, his ability to create shots and his ability to create turnovers is not really conducive to being the guy running your offense, and that's sort of what they've been forced into. Spencer, I almost heard about Spencer a little bit this week, and it was too long. He has shown some interesting growth to me over the last week or two as being more than a three-point shooter. I think he's getting more comfortable putting the ball on the floor. Like, he can't get to the rim. He is no threat at the rim, but getting past the three-point line, getting into some mid-range jump shots, doing some pick-and-roll playmaking. I think he has shown some more growth, sort of that poor man's Ty Jerome kind of thing. He has shown some interesting growth there, but, I mean, this puts them both in sort of a rough spot. This needs to be a game where Jaren, the front line, Jaren and Edie and Tower can really assert themselves.
Well, and one can imagine they might be able to. Well, obviously no Wemby, no Stephon Castle. What's up with the Spurs?
So, I mean, they still have Darren Fox, so they have the best guard in the game. And we've seen a lot of this season, with and without Ja on the floor, where you look up and, well, that team has Donovan Mitchell, and that's the difference. Or that team has Jalen Brunson, or, you know, that team has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This could be another one of those nights where you look up and you're like, oh, well, that team has Darren Fox, and the Grizzlies don't have guards. I mean, that's a difference that's hard to overcome in the NBA these days, because I think it's become a very guard-oriented kind of league. But the Spurs defense without Wemby, not surprisingly, but, you know, I've looked at this, their defense has been great with Wemby on the floor, and it's been really bad with him off the floor. And this is not a situation where, like, you know, you got to manage the 20 minutes he's not in the game. So you got to manage 48 he's not in the game. And so there's a real potential there for the Grizzlies if they can not turn the ball over and make enough shots to keep, you know, people from COVID collapsing on the paint for, I think, Jaren and Edie to really have a big impact on this game. Because that Spurs defense without Wemby is pretty soft.
It is interesting. One of the stories of the league this year is that Denver without Jokic minutes dramatically better than they had been. It used to be he'd be off the floor, he'd be off the court, and he'd be just dreadful. And now they've bolstered themselves. But I can't imagine what the Spurs look like without Wemby. But I guess we'll see it tonight. It's funny you mentioned the there's a lot of teams in bad situations because there's a mock draft out today. Jeremy Wu has a mock draft out today, a little early for this, over at ESPN. But the Grizzlies, and I don't know if it's projected or they have the Grizzlies picking ninth. And, of course, there's a lottery besides that, like, so the whole thing, whatever. But what it does drive home is how many truly dreadful teams there are this year. I mean, the Grizzlies have, in fact, right now, only the ninth worst record, as bad as things have been. And just a lot of hopelessness. Do you think this is atypical?
Yeah. Well, and there's an overlap between the terrible teams and the hopelessness, but that's sort of separate categories a little bit. Like, the Pacers are terrible this year, but guess what? If the Pacers get a top five pick or top three pick, and then Tyrese Haliburton comes back and, you know, they're in a good gap year situation.
Yeah.
You know, you got a team like the Clippers who, you know, they should be better than they are, but that team's really old and they've traded away all of their picks. And you sort of, you know, unless you're in a situation where they're going to have to try to buy themselves out of it, and it's going to take a couple years to try to do that, you know, so that's kind of a worse situation. But, like, the worst spots are teams like New Orleans and Sacramento, who are terrible now, and they don't have a player you can really build on, and New Orleans doesn't even have a pick in this draft.
Right.
And those are some really rough spots.
So you think that's worse than, like, Brooklyn and Washington, truly dreadful, but they're just committed to young players. They have a bunch, and I don't know, do they both have, has Brooklyn gotten all their picks back? Do they have all their picks now?
I don't know about all of them going forward. They both have their pick in this draft. You know, Washington if it's in the top eight. And so the difference between Brooklyn, Washington, and Sacramento is that Brooklyn and Washington are further along in an attempted rebuild. Now, sometimes attempted rebuilds don't work, and you have to start over again, which has happened to Sacramento many times. But Sacramento hasn't even started like the next rebuild yet. They're the place where they're probably about to start it. They have a new front office in. The new front office inherited all these veteran players who they didn't acquire. And it sounds like they're just going to lose this season and get their high draft pick and start to tear it down. Whereas Brooklyn and Washington, you know, have already started that process. I think those teams still need a player to really build with. Neither of them, I don't think, have that. So those are teams that really want to get high in this draft. But at least they started the process. I think Sacramento probably hasn't even started the process.
Do you get the sense? I saw over the weekend Sabonis rumors flirting out there. Do you get the sense that's what they're about to – is that they are pondering a teardown? Because you also hear literally they're a team that could be interested in Ja if that ever comes to fruition, unless the owner
walks into the room and, like, changes their plans. I would assume the front office is looking to, like, to do a fire sale if they can. The problem is I don't know how much value. Sabonis is probably the best thing they have to trade. But I don't know how much – I don't know if they get a huge return for Sabonis. And the other guys, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, you know, Dennis Schroeder, some of these guys, I don't think there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, what value do they have? The mock draft, by the way, you got the studs at the top, Peterson, Bezanta, and Boozer at the top. And then the Grizzlies end up picking, you'll be glad to know in this one, I'm not this deep in my draft prep yet, Jaden Quaintance, a center from Kentucky at 9, and then they get Kareem Lopez, a small forward, power forward from the New Zealand Breakers at 11. I'll say this, obviously the hope would be, the year will play out, you'd want one of the studs. I do think even if you go into a draft next year with two lower lottery picks, depending what it's why what happens tonight and going forward, like that's still a pretty good position to be in, even if you don't get one of the studs, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you're feeling about Cedric Howard coming out of the season. It depends on how you're feeling about Zach Edey coming out of the season. It depends in part on how you feel about Ja and Jared and where you think they are and whether you're going to have them and all of that. But even in terms of thinking about like a new wave of talent, like it depends a lot on how you feel about Coward and Edie. But yeah, I mean, again, there are teams in better situations and teams in worse. And then the draft itself, I mean, I know there's this consensus about it now, and it seems like that top three consensus is pretty strong. But things are going to change over the course of the season, like they always do. And you'll look up, and it may be that, you know, Mikael Brown is now a guy who's like bordering that territory, or Nate Amit, or somebody else, you know.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, I'm going to offer you the Grizzlies' next three games. I'm going to offer you 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to offer. I mean, it's the Kings and Dallas and Sacramento and San Antonio without Wemby. Okay, I'm going to offer you 1-2.
I'd probably take my chances.
Yeah, you'd hope for 2 years. We could actually make up some ground here.
Yeah.
If you were to bet how many wins they will get, you had to pick the right number. I'm giving you $100 if you pick the right number of wins they will have in the next three. You'd pick one. The over under would be 1.5, wouldn't it? Or will they be underdogs in all three? No, they'll be favored against
Sacramento. They were favored against Dallas.
But this is on the road.
Right. So I'm trying to see Dallas. What have they done? They've been more competitive.
They absolutely have been more competitive.
I almost think like you'd set the over under at like 1.5.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Over under would be 1.5. It wouldn't be at 0.5, would it?
No, I think they'd either give you a flat 1 or 1.5, but I think they'd give you 1.5.
All right.
Yeah, I would say probably the most likely outcome's 1-2.
I think the most likely outcome is 1-2. By the way, Giannis hurt. Like it does feel like it just feels like this is this like they flexed it tonight and you got no Wemby and no Ja. Like that's what it feels like too much. This is what the league has become, and then Giannis gets hurt last night. as well. So that happened. You know who got a start last night? Moussa Cisse.
There you go.
Moussa Cisse got a start last night in the loss to Minnesota. I think he was 1 of 7 from the line.
Okay.
But he did have 10 rebounds.
There you go.
He had double-digit rebounds. And good for Moussa, man.
I ain't paying him to get to the line.
Good for Moussa for getting a start in the NBA. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. It's Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, we'll talk to our man in Washington, D.C. That's Charles Fishman. We'll do that next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Right back on the Jeff Calkins Show. It's Tuesday. That means it's Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, joins the show. Charles is, of course, the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. He joins us now, and for the first time in a long time, he joins us as our government is open and functioning. Welcome, Charles.
It is I. That's what I wanted to say this morning. It is I.
Yeah.
I want to get the grammar correct. Yes, it is I from
Washington, D.C. That's the subjunctive
conjunctive.
I know that. Jeffrey told me.
Before we get to the news of the week, is just crazy, right?
Crazy.
We got the government back in business,
yep.
The Epstein files released,
yep.
Donald Trump first twists arms, elbows, legs, and knees to stop the Epstein files. Now he's saying,
now coming out.
Release them. Then we've got the penny. The death of the penny. The official
final death of the penny. Are you sad about the penny?
But before we get to
before we get to that, yeah.
I just want to say a word on behalf of San Antonio. You guys were a little...
We didn't say anything bad about San Antonio at all.
San Antonio? I've been to San Antonio many times.
I've been to San Antonio, too. We didn't weigh in on it. I asked him if he'd been to San Antonio. He said maybe.
He said maybe.
And then he said he'd like to go, but whatever. No one disparaged. You don't have to stick up for San Antonio.
Oh, okay. Okay. San Antonio is home to one of the most innovative water utilities in America.
Really?
And I know that's the kind of content people come.
How so? Innovative how?
Fish on fry.
For example?
For example, at one point, they've stopped doing it now because they don't need to anymore. They figured out that they could save enough water that it was worth the utility buying you new toilets and installing them. They would buy you a brand new water-saving toilet, and they would send somebody to install it for free, no cost.
Really?
It saved them millions of gallons of water.
So why don't they need to anymore?
They've replaced as many toilets as the program could afford to replace and had a big impact. They have a tiny little sales tax, 1/6 of a penny. You have to spend $6 to pay a penny tax. You have to spend $60.
That's their sales tax in the whole community? That's
a dime. Yeah. No, that 1/6 of a penny tax is devoted to the water system. So the only time you even pay a dime is you have to spend $60. So it's a tiny little tax. It generates between $40 and $50 million a year.
Yeah.
And they use it to buy land or conservation rights to protect the aquifer under San Antonio. So they have created this huge ring of protected land around the city. They focus development inside the city, and the tax sunsets every 7 years. It stops, and the citizens of San Antonio have to vote it back into existence, and it passes every time by 70%. That's the kind of thing.
We talk about One Giant Leap in your introduction, but you also have written a book called The Big Thirst, which is about water. And one of the points I think you make in this book, or that I've heard you make before talking about the book, is that we take water for granted, and therefore we don't typically, unlike San Antonio, set aside money. We just assume that when we turn on the faucets, the water's going to come out.
Exactly.
It shocks us if it's brown, whereas our electricity goes out all the damn time.
Right. That is. In fact, the point I make when I give water talks is, Your $59 microwave oven from Walmart, when the power goes out, the little screen flashes PF to tell you to reset the clock and your other settings. Because some engineer in China knows that the electrical system in America is uncertain enough that the microwave, once a month, you'll lose power. Maybe it's 10 seconds, maybe it's 15 minutes. We need to give the microwave something to do during that. Most people will go through their entire adult lives in America and never turn on the water, turn on the faucet, and not have the water there. The water never goes out the way the power goes out, and that's just as much of a miracle, you know, as if you pause and think about it, as it should be compared to electricity. And yet, when the electricity bill is $400 in the summer, I don't think most people I've seen a $400 electricity water bill for even 2 or 3 months combined. So, I do like to think about water, and San Antonio is a really water-smart city. But that's probably enough about San Antonio.
All right. Are you sad about the penny?
Go if you can.
Are you sad about the penny?
You know, I'm sad about is that I'm a little bit of a sentimental guy. So I'm a little sad about the penny. The penny, the last pennies were minted. A mint is literally a factory where they use machines to manufacture coins. Like, your quarter doesn't drop from the sky. There's a machine that makes a quarter. There's a machine that makes dimes. Those machines are all in U.S. mints, in factories owned and run by the U.S. government. Boy, people talk about the government just issuing money, but they actually do. And the last pennies were manufactured at the This is an interesting thing. Donald Trump, people have been trying to kill the penny for years. I'm not sure whether it was actually legal for him to do this or not, because no other president has done it this way. Every other president has waited for Congress. But Trump just ordered the Treasury Department to stop making the penny. And so they have, as of Wednesday. So the penny, as we all know, because we've talked about this many times on the show, one of our favorite obsessions, like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, costs 3 cents to make. So it's just insane. We're making something that cost us 3 cents to make, and we were only giving you a penny credit. Here's a $20 bill. You can use it to buy anything that costs $7. That's crazy. No, yeah, $20 bill, right. So here's a $100 bill. You can use it to buy anything that only costs $33. So
right.
It was ridiculous. Most important, people just found them to be a pain in the neck. You know, 27 cents, 39 cents, 42 cents. People just didn't like it.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, it's been a long time since Jeffrey and I can't. I talked to Gabe and I talked to Jeffrey about this. Neither of them nor I could remember the last time we actually spent a penny, because we don't.
Yeah,
buy.
I'm weird because I still use cash, and I leave the house with a little bit of change just so I can get rid of my pennies. Yeah. Here's why I'm not that sad about the penny. Two interesting things about the penny. The penny was first minted in 1793, so it was 232 years old. Amazing. And it had Lady Liberty on it between 1793 and 1909. Then in 1909, it got Abraham Lincoln. The time between 1793 and 1909 and the time between 1909 and now is the same. 1793 feels so long ago, but 1909 somehow doesn't. Anyway, it just had Lady Liberty on it, and Lincoln the back changed a lot. Here's why I'm not that sad. There are between 250 and 300 billion pennies in circulation in the United States. In circulation means people have them. Stores right. have them. Banks have them. You and I have them. That's between 800 and 900 pennies per person. That means if you have a family of four, there might well be 3,000 pennies knocking around inside your house somewhere. Now, obviously, businesses and banks have a lot, but think about it. There might be 1,000 or 2,000 pennies in most people's houses just kicking around somewhere, and 1,000 pennies.
They don't use them. Yeah, okay. I want
to
move
use them,
on.
Right.
Home Depot.
So I can't be sad about it yet because it's not disappearing yet.
Home Depot. We do earnings reports here, we have earnings, some earnings, important earnings.
Why do we do earnings reports anyway?
Why do we do? Because these are publicly traded companies, and we need to know what they're up to.
No, we do earnings. Well, that's fine, but we do earnings reports literally for what they tell us about.
Or why we talk about them? They do them because they're required.
But
we do them because they tell us about what's happening in the broader economy in the world.
What's happening in the economy? Home Depot is this tiny little window on the U.S. economy, and it's a little bit like Walmart. It's a little bit like Target. This quarter's earnings are a little screwed up. Target's earnings are tomorrow after Tuesday. Walmart's earnings are Thursday. Walmart's earnings usually come out on a Monday or a Tuesday, which makes it really easy to talk about them. Walmart is my favorite
earnings report.
Earnings report.
We all have our own personal favorite earnings reports. I mean, who doesn't, you know?
Who doesn't?
Who
exactly.
Doesn't? Yeah.
So what did Home Depot report today? Home Depot reported that sales went up just a little bit, 2%. Comparable store sales in the U.S. for a Home Depot that was open a year ago, comparable store sales rose 0.1%. That's as little as it can rise and still rises, right? But here's what's interesting. There were a lot of things that were interesting. They said the real thing holding them back this quarter was the lack of hurricanes, the lack of tropical storms.
Well, that's too bad. We're short on hurricanes.
What a tragedy that is.
Damn it, we don't have enough hurricanes.
You can see it in the slow sales of roofing, plywood, and individual generators, which are, of course, all things you would purchase
That's a tough thing to even lament. Were they lamenting it? Did they literally say, no?
These earnings calls are public. Anybody can listen, and people are rehearsed. Like, people have scripts.
Right, they get that.
They said, quote unquote, we don't prepare for storms per se. But you could mock them. But if Macy's or Amazon had to go through December with no Christmas, they would say,
Christmas and hurricanes are a little bit different.
Not if you're Home Depot.
It would be
last year, I understand that, but
it would be like a morgue. Let me just say this. It would be like a morgue saying, you know what? Things were a lot better during COVID. You know, like we don't have enough disease right now.
They didn't say better. They just said you want to understand why we didn't do as well as we normally do.
That's why I wondered if they lamented it. That's why I asked.
Hang on. Last year at this time, there had been 6 hurricanes that had hit the United States. So if you think about that, when a hurricane hits, literally the place people go as soon as the storm passes is Home Depot or Lowe's. They're going to get their tarps. They're going to get plywood. They probably went before to put plywood over the windows. So,
no, 100%.
So that's understandable.
What's funny is I just got a text from a listener who's in the business of home restoration. Like if you get flooding, you know, because whatever, all of a sudden you have they come in and they help. He said, he just texted me. He said, it's hurting our business too. The lack of hurricanes. Same thing.
Right,
I get it.
Right. It's not, no one wishes for hurricanes at all. There's a reason there's a hurricane season. That's when the hurricanes come. So it's just an explanation. Right. They said a couple of other things. They said I think what's interesting is that sales at Home Depot are not down given the mood in the country, right? Given the mood of consumers, things are a little tiny bit better than they were a year ago, which is kind of amazing because not everything you buy at Home Depot is optional, but you can scale back your garden spending. You can scale back. You can put off your renovation. And that's, they say, any project, Home Depot has said for a year, any project that requires financing, a new kitchen, an addition, a new garage, that kind of renovation. But they said the real key, they said several people asked whether there was any sign of trading down. Because at Walmart, for instance, at Target, there is trading down to store brands,
right?
You get the green beans or the no brand breakfast cereal or even the no brand milk.
If things are really desperate, no brand toilet paper.
No brand toilet paper is we're never that desperate. Toilet paper is priority. They said there's no sign of trading down, and then he kind of lowered his voice and said, except in kitchen countertops. People are trading down in the kitchen countertops. But what the really interesting insight that connects this to the broader economy is housing turnover this year.
Mm-hmm.
Turnover is literally the percent of every house available in the United States that could be sold.
Yep.
Like I live in a house that we quote unquote own. We have a mortgage on it. You live in a house that you quote unquote own. So anything that's not an apartment, the total housing turnover is 2.8%, the lowest in 30 years.
Wow.
Only 28 out of 1,000 homes have sold in the last 9 months. Now, the normal rate's not 100 out of 1,000, it's 40 out of 1,000. But 40 out of 1,000 is very different than 28 out of 1,000. And we both know that when you move, both in the place you're leaving and the place you're going to, there are things that you fix that have been, you know, right now we have 3 porch boards that need to be fixed, but we can live with them. But if we were selling the house, we wouldn't live with them. We'd fix them.
Well, and then people, as soon as they move into a house, they make changes.
They
to
look
the house.
Around yeah. and say, we need to paint. We
yeah.
hate this color. 100%. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the lack of we say that the housing market is frozen. The frozen housing market cascades all over the place. And it cascades into a place like Home Depot, and including the number of people they employ and how they expand and so forth. So I thought that was really, really, really interesting.
Let's move on. Have you watched, on your list, we have The American Revolution. That's the latest Ken Burns series, which launched, I think, Sunday. Have you watched any, or what do you wish to say about this?
Yes. Today's Tuesday. I did not watch last night. So Ken Burns... And he has a team. He's the guy who did
the Civil War,
on the Civil War that was so moving. And he's done baseball. He's done
baseball.
Jazz. Yep. He's done a bunch of others besides the Civil War. Civil War is the one people have seen. And
it sort of was an American event when the Civil
right.
War. Like
when
it was one of those things that everyone was watching.
Both the
PBS.
Actual Civil
yep.
War and the Ken Burns documentary. He's now done... he's now given the American Revolution the same treatment. And I watched the first one. I'll catch up on the second one and then the third one. This is on PBS. You can stream it free on the PBS app. It is so it's moving and completely engaging in exactly the way the Civil War was. We have this literally comic book version of this, of the American Revolution, that is so simplistic compared to the reality.
The British are coming. The British are coming. Here comes Paul Revere. And then they dump the tree.
Well, then they dump the tea in the harbor.
And then basically, oh, then there was Bunker Hill when we didn't fire until they see the whites of their eyes. And then Washington, he crossed the Potomac. He crossed the Delaware. He crossed the Delaware. That was after he threw the dollar across the Potomac. Then he crossed the Delaware. And then. And then we won. And then we had the siege at, what the hell was the name of that fort, Jeffrey? What's the name of the fort? Siege at Cornwallis. Cornwallis retired.
I have the series DVD.
He surrendered. And Yorktown was big, too, in there. And then we won. Ha! What do you mean simplistic?
It's been some high-quality radio. That's why I'm in charge of my segment. But in fact, the first episode was about Lexington and Concord and the British are coming. The British are coming was literally Paul Revere riding out into the countryside to say, right, 1,000 British troops are marching on Lexington, Massachusetts, where my brother lives, and Concord, just beyond that. And when they got to those places, they were met by furious Americans firing on them.
And from either side of the road, they were hidden in the bushes. They were from high and low. I remember this.
Yep. Yes, yes. And they drove the British
right back.
They drove the British back. The British, it's literally, I mean, it's hard to compare, but it's like the Afghans and the Vietnamese driving out the Americans.
It is very much.
The British were the superpower in the whole world. And a bunch of guys with flintlocks.
Muskets.
The Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, over the Stamp Act, over the tax on tea. You learned a lot just about that. First of all, it never went into effect. Americans refused to pay it. The British didn't have the wherewithal to enforce it.
Make me.
It was tiny. It was a tiny, tiny tax. It wouldn't have changed the price of tea.
Not unlike the San Antonio water tax, really.
Not unlike the San Antonio water, except Americans were furious at the idea that Britain across the ocean would tax them. And when it was imposed, when Parliament in London passed it, a bunch of American colonies immediately passed laws saying no one can tax our citizens but us. Only Virginia can tax Virginians, not Britain. So it was just fun to hear all of that. And then after Lexington and Concord, word got out that night and the next day that the British had attacked their own people, that this was a British colony with British soldiers.
Right.
14,000 Americans streamed into Boston. 14 times the number of soldiers who marched to Lexington and Concord, all self-organizing. They came to Boston and they set up a blockade around the whole city. Imagine 14,000 in 1775. That's an incredible number of people with guns. So you just learned a lot. The other thing that is so striking that Ken Burns made this point, and of course I haven't watched.
I'll be honest. We live in Memphis. We got more than 14,000 people with guns. You know, like, honestly.
Right, but I'll tell you what's absolutely true. In 1775, there were not 14,000 people with guns.
Or in Memphis, right. That's true.
The other thing that is so striking, though, was, and it's not taught this way at all, is that the American Revolution was a civil war. It was a civil war because half of Americans, 40% of Americans, didn't want
to rebel. They were the Tories. The Tories, man. They didn't want it. Yep.
They weren't Tories. They were called loyalists. In fact, Ken Burns came to my favorite morning show, CNBC, the finance network, and he looked at the hosts and he said, "You guys are here making money, reporting on the financial markets. If it were 1775, you would not have joined the revolution. You would have said, what I do every day, the security of my family, owes to the British. I'm not going to rebel against the British." So we never think of it as a civil war because we know the ending. The ending is the rights of man are enshrined. It was a war over the most important idea in 1,000 years. But at the time, it was very clearly a civil war. And so that kind of changes how you think about the revolution. Anyway, very much worth watching. Ken Burns says over and over again, reminder, there were no, there was no photography and there were no video cameras.
Well, I was going to say, that's, that makes
it didn't have the ability to even take pictures. It was 100 years.
So what are they doing from, for, what's the video there?
They use a lot of paintings. They use a lot of maps. They use a lot of, you know, whatever, drawings of what Lexington right. looked like at the time.
Right.
And then they did something really unusual, which actually works. There are lots of Revolutionary War reenactors in the yep. world, in America, who replay these battles with real gear and real tents and real hardship. They don't resort to, you know, REI equipment. And they, it took him 10 years with his team, with his creative team, to do this set of documentaries. And for 4 or 5 years, they filmed reenactors in all of the important places, but they didn't film their faces. They filmed them washing the blood out of clothes, rolling Band-Aids, fixing guns the way they would have in 1776. So what you see is that's used in place of photography, but not to look at the people, but to look at the things.
All right, let's. Our time is limited. Let's
apparently,
talk.
Apparently, in the next episodes, there's a lot of use of drones to show you how the battles played out, which makes the battles clearer. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, go ahead. What do you got?
I want to discuss butterflies because there was a piece in the New York Times today about the butterfly migration. And I have to say, one thing I learned, because then I went and read more about it, is I'm like, how are these monarch butterflies even migrating? Because they die in 2 weeks. And it turns out that monarch butterflies last about 2 weeks. Unless it's the last batch of the season, they're the migrators, and they last for 6 to 9 months. So I don't know whether that's good because you get to live longer, or a chore because you guys got to be the guys who migrate. But like a whole, the same species, the monarchs produce different sorts of butterflies at different types of times of the year in order to do this mass migration. But we've learned that the story is really about more about this migration, too. We can now follow along at home.
This is really amazing. These beautiful butterflies migrate in the fall from all across North America to a single spot in Mexico. And they've only ever been able to track them by putting little tiny little tags on the butterflies when they take off from the Midwest or even Southern Canada, and then finding those same butterflies with those tags when they get to Mexico. And as somebody in that New York Times story, we're going to post the New York Times story on Jeffrey's Twitter. As somebody in the story pointed out, it's like trying to understand a book by reading the first page and the last page. We don't know what happened in the middle. Here's the incredible revolution. There's a company that developed a tiny little tracking sensor that can be glued using eyelash glue, using makeup glue that women use to connect their eyelash, to add false eyelashes. You use eyelash glue to glue the sensor, the tracking sensor, to the body of the butterfly, not the wings. And the sensor weighs 60 milligrams. 60 milligrams is half what one Cheerio weighs. And you should download the app Project Monarch. You can see if any butterflies are flying through your zone and help the science. The butterflies only weigh 500 or 600 milligrams, so they're carrying an extra 10%, and they could track them all the way, every
it's totally
moment.
Cool. It's totally cool it to see where these butterflies
and they're
go.
Learning a lot. These butterflies fly thousands of miles. Sometimes they get blown out.
By the way,
the
I got to tell people that you're not going to be able to read this story on Jeffrey's Twitter because he's no longer on Twitter because he was corrupted and he hasn't gotten it back from the Twitter people. There's no one.
Well,
to
you can
him.
Read it on my Twitter.
Or
I
you
will
can read
it
on Charles' Twitter.
I will
Twitter.
Post it.
See Fishman.
And somebody from 92.9 will also post it. See Fishman.
Is that what you
on
Twitter?
And you can follow me for this kind of content all day long.
All right. Charles,
Memphis, have a good
thank
week.
You very much. The British
hang
are
on to your penny.
See you later. All right. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson joins their program today. Tim Murray will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.